There are three rules that I live by. Never get less than 12 hours sleep, never play cards with a guy who has the same first name as a city, and never get involved with a woman with a tattoo of a dagger on her body. Now stick with that, and everything else is cream cheese. Obviously, we're doing 1985's Teen Wolf. Now, this is one of my favorite films of the 80s. It's not a particularly good one, but and we were always going to do it, but the reason we've probably pushed it up the list is because last week, sadly, was the death of James Hampton. Now, if you don't know James Hampton, he's the guy who played Harold Howard, so Scott's dad. And when I think of him, I think of two things. I think of him as being the quintessential 80s American movie dad. And also, let's be honest, the worst werewolf in movie history. Now, it's not the best eulogy for an actor, but he is a spectacularly terrible werewolf, isn't he?
All right, if we're getting into it straight away.
Straight away, you've got to deal with it. It's the elephant werewolf in the room? Yeah, let's go with that.
I can't look at him without thinking that somebody has written some weird fan fiction where Gizmo fucked a human.
That's what he looks like, doesn't it?
Look at him. He is a cross between a human and a mogwai. So there is some fan fiction out there where Gizmo seduces some woman and produces Harold Howard. Wow, that's going to be a tough one.
He's got this weirdly alliterative name, which is hard. It doesn't really roll off the tongue as it should being alliterative. But the only thing, when you say that, what it reminds me of is like, remember Howard the Duck?
Yeah.
Howard the Duck totally fucks Marty's mum. See, we're doing 6 degrees of separation now, whatever the hell it's called. So basically, instead of Howard the Duck fucking Marty McFly's mum, this is Gizmo fucking somebody who then time travels back to what I would assume to be the 30s to give birth to Harold Howard, who grows up to become a Gizmo werewolf hybrid. Like, is that what we're saying? Is that what we're going with? That's the theory. That's the working theory.
Is it age with him? Like, because his face changes, but there's no hair on his face. It's all around. Like, he's got some weird lion's mane around his head. I challenge you, anytime you watch this film now, you're not seeing Gizmo. I challenge you to think of anything else.
That's the thing. Now you've said that. I'm glad I didn't watch it. I watched it before you said that, because I always thought of him of looking like a badger, or even for a bit of, would you call it brand synergy? Like the team, he does look a bit like a beaver. So I was wondering, were the team named after the fact that they were like, dude, I'm pretty sure I saw a human beaver hybrid rolling around. So like, oh, we'll just name the team after him. But now that you said it, he's absolutely Gizmo's weird love child.
Weird love 100%. Child.
So yeah, we do apologize, James Hampton. We do love it. Legitimately, I do love Harold Howard. I do love him. I've always loved him. You know, he's the kind of guy you'd like, oh, I wish he was my dad.
Yeah.
I don't wish, you know, but the fact of the matter is, he's a bad werewolf, man. He's a bad werewolf.
He said in that film, it skips a generation. After seeing himself in the film, had to have thought, I wish it skipped me.
Yeah. And like you said, did he look quite cool? Because there's no two ways about it. Scott is a really cool-looking werewolf, as far as werewolves can look cool. Like, you know, if you were going to turn into a werewolf in your teens, you're like, well, yeah, this isn't too bad. I look kind of cool. He puts on a suit. He looks pretty sharp. He puts on a varsity jacket. He looks the fucking bomb. Get a pair of Wayfarers on him. He's looking pretty fly.
Also, when he's playing basketball, he grows 2 feet.
He does absolutely. We'll get to that in a minute. He totally grows 2 feet. And gets, I mean, the only thing you can say is he does legitimately get a lot better at basketball on a fundamental level. But we'll get to that in a sec. But the weird thing is how different this film could be. Because I'm jumping on facts here. But James Hampton actually applied for the role of Coach Finstock.
He did.
You know, who I quoted at the start of this film. Of all the, you know, the characters, you think, oh, would you quote Scott? Would you, you know, Styles perhaps? No. It's Coach Finstock has all the best lines in this film. Styles has the best t-shirts. Finstock has the best lines.
If we're sticking with the coach, loves chicken for a start. So he's my hero.
Loves chicken and eggs.
Help yourself to a wing. Help yourself to a thigh. But he's the quintessential coach. Oh, well, actually, he's not. Like my door is always
open. No,
my door is always open for you. But it literally says on the door, no students.
And after he gives like the worst speech ever. Like all of his. Any encouragement he gives the students is just, I mean, the first thing he does is tries to forfeit the game because his team is shit, which they are, let's be clear. I mean, what is it? What's he saying when he's in the office? Like how he's talking about how the IRS are breathing down his neck. It's, I feel like there's a Coach Finstock spin-off movie somewhere that, you know, you could totally make one. I feel like it's a waste of opportunity.
His quote or his story about the boy quitting is fantastic. When he goes,
oh, it's amazing.
Came to me just like you did now. He had to help his mother who was ailing, so we had to get a part-time job. Oh, what did you do? I let him quit. He was a third stringer. I didn't need him. What are you doing that story?
Some of it's totally inappropriate. It's like when Scott's trying to tell him, like, obviously these weird things are happening to him. And he's like, he obviously thinks, oh, you know, he's growing hair in weird places, which of course he is. But I think he's thinking the more traditional sense. He's like, oh, sorry, Scott, I haven't been hanging around the locker room. Like, if he had been, he's like checking out all the dudes. It's like, oh, yeah, Murray, man, he's really growing in. You know, it's like, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, Coach Finstock, dark past, I'm thinking, slightly dodgy relationship with the boys, but a fantastic character all the same. No, I'm just saying it's just a shame because it's both – obviously, you know, when you think of this film, you think of Michael J. Fox and, you know, all the stuff with Back to the Future, and it's just kind of all coming at the right time. But it's like this film was a big hit. And it's like, how did Coach Finstock, or God, what's his name? I should get his name. Jay Tarsus plays Coach Finstock.
Yeah.
And Jerry Levine, who plays Styles. I mean, how weren't they these like breakout stars from this film? It's like I was expecting to go to IMDb. Because Styles, in his defense, is more than just awesome T-shirts, although he does wear a lot of awesome T-shirts. But those guys, even when you go back and watch it, it's like, these guys are the stars of this film. Like, they're the ones who jump out at you. And, like, they weren't in much after this. It's really weird, man. I just thought, you know, if I'd been watching this in 1985 and you said, who's going to, you know, kick on from this movie? It's going to be those two. But just didn't happen. Quite strange.
Well, it really didn't. They all seemed to disappear. The only thing... Styles seemed to appear back lately in Hawaii 5-0. He was in like a couple of episodes of the new remake of Hawaii 5-0. But other than that, what was her name? Boof. Susan Asiti. She kind of disappeared as well.
I love Boof. She was one of my first movie crushes. I was fuck Pamela, and I don't mean fuck Pamela. I mean fuck comma Pamela. Am I getting that right? I don't know. But anyway, I was from a young age, I was totally Team Boof.
I don't even think you meant to do that. But when you said, fuck Pamela, mm-hmm. He was a Playboy model before this.
Was she really?
Playboy or Playmate of the Year or the centerpiece. I don't know how the...
See, that could be inappropriate if it wasn't for the fact that nearly everyone in this film is nearly 30 years old.
I really wanted to go there. Like, why in the hell does Mick look older than Howard or Harold?
Dude, Mick... I'll tell you, right, the weirdest thing. I'm jumping around a little bit here. But for the longest time, Mick, who's played by Mark Arnold, who is one of the guys who's gone on to have a decent career, he's been in quite a few big TV shows, and he's played minor roles in a lot of big movies. He was in Blade Runner 2049, he's in Age of Fallen, Justice League. He was in the terrible but kind of popular Kingsman, The Golden Circle. I fucking hate that. But I always thought that was Billy Zane. Like, growing up, I was convinced it was Billy Zane. And it was only when I watched it, like, 10 years ago, I was like, wait a minute, that's not fucking Billy Zane. That's someone completely different. I don't know. It was just one of those things I got stuck in my head. I was like, oh, yeah, that's the Phantom right there. That's totally the Phantom.
Look at him.
It's not.
You look at him. That motherfucker is 45, if a day.
He is old. Actually 27.
Oh, 28.
27, sorry. I've done the maths poorly. But the one thing, in the film, they're obviously aware of it because there's a line where they mention the fact that he got held back and that he's actually 20.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, yeah, he did some time and they've got all these stories. But yeah, like even in a film where you've got a lot of people, 27, 28, like Styles is 28, I think. Boof was 27, 28. I mean, even Michael J. Fox was 24, but he looked about 17.
Still
but
does.
Mick, like you said, Mick looks about 52 years old. And he does look like he's done time.
Yeah.
I mean, if you saw those two in a fight, if you saw Mick and Michael J. Fox in 1985 getting into a fight, you'd immediately call the police because you'd be like, there's a grown-ass man beating the shit out of a child outside. I mean, that's what it would look like.
Why are they worrying about getting a keg when all they got to do is just give some money to Mick and he can just go in and buy everything from that liquor store?
That's what I thought happened. You go to that party and everyone's making a big deal about getting a keg. It's clearly hard to get. You get to that party, there's like 17 kegs there.
Okay.
Mick has gone in. He's cleaned the place out.
We're jumping around again, but you've mentioned it now. Can we talk about this party?
Are we going to go? Okay, we'll go to the party first.
You said the party. I have to.
All right, we'll go with the party. There's a lot to deal with the party, dude.
What happens in this party? Like, I've never been to a house party where you have a game show host.
Yeah, I mean, Stiles is a really good compere in Venice. He's really good. But, like, right, as soon as you get there, things are weird immediately. So they pull up, and Stiles, let's be honest, Stiles, who rides famously rides on the top of the truck all the way there, that's actually him. That's not
he's held up by wires, isn't he?
Yeah, still pretty impressive. But they get there. There's like 100 people dancing on the lawn. There's a dude sitting in the middle of the lawn watching a TV. I'm like, what the fuck is that plugged into? This is 1985. Yeah. I don't know. Like, he's got like an old-ass 80s TV. It's just on in the lawn. And then as soon as you go in, there's people smoking joints. Usually you're like, oh, it's hard to get beer. They've got like 2,000 gallons of beer. Everyone's smoking joints. I'm like, this party's going off. And like you said, once it gets to Stiles and he's doing his compare bit, things get real weird real fucking quick.
Hold the jello.
Hold the jello. What about those two people who are writhing around covered in cream for like 20 minutes? What are they? I still don't know what they're trying to achieve.
You've just cling filmed them up, covered them in whipped cream, and just left them on the floor. Off you go. Just sort yourself out.
There's a suggestion in the start of the scene that they're trying to do something because Stiles is counting, like they're trying to escape. But then they do like four other games. Boof and Scott go into the cupboard. They come back out. Those two motherfuckers are still on the floor. They're still handcuffed together and they're still covered in cream, writhing around. I'm like, dude, what are you trying to... Are you trying to break out of handcuffs? I'm like, I don't think it's going
to
happen.
The only one who looked like she didn't want to be there was the one giving him the names.
What the fuck was up with her?
He was so unhappy.
She was dressed like a stripper.
Yeah.
That's a teenage girl, supposedly, dressed like a goddamn stripper, handing out names in a hat. Nothing else to do. Just standing there like a perverted magician's assistant. It's weird.
That's the best case of resting bitch face I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. She's not happy at all.
Oh, like, not at all.
There's no way going into that scene someone told her what she would be wearing. She didn't find out until she went into wardrobe and it was already too late. She's like, I'm dressed like a stripper. It's like, yeah, you're going to have to go out there. How old is my character supposed to be? 17? Yeah, we know. But let's be honest, you're all 30 fucking eights. Just get out there and do your job.
And nobody asked Booth if she was okay when she leaves the closet.
Oh, yeah.
Just ripped apart at the back. Like, she's walking past people. People can see she's being clawed. And they're not like, are you all right? Do we need to call somebody? Like, honestly...
It's strange because as well, it kind of overpowers the fact that for the most part, this is that weird 80s era, 85, where when looking back, most people actually dress pretty acceptably, pretty cool by today's standards. There's a lot of like Adidas low tops and shit. You know, the jeans are quite fitted, so it looks kind of cool. Like, you know, a lot of the stuff, you're like, oh, you know, it looks 80s, but...
Yeah, but she didn't dress like she was attacked by a rake.
No. My point is, for the most part, Booth just dresses normally. But in that scene, she's dressed so fucking 80s. She's got like the weird like metal belt on, the thing that goes up over her neck. Yeah. So when you see the bits of the back of her top missing, I'm like, you know, you might think that's just part of the fucking dress. She's
not as 80s, not as 80s as Rhonda mine, because she looked like she came out of a Pat Benatar video.
Yeah, she is. Like you said, like for the most part, it's okay. But then every so often you get these little moments, these little lightning bolts of super 80s. And it's like, Jesus Christ. Okay, I forgot for a second. We are definitely watching an 80s film. But yeah, like right from the off, I'm just like, dude, just pick Booth. Like he doesn't get any of the signals. I mean, Booth, let's be honest, she's not subtle by the fact that she likes Scott.
No, well, she even admitted to him when they went into the closet that she had some other guy's name. And he was like, well, he's a decent guy. Yeah, but he's not you.
Yeah.
Like, and then you said you had a crush on Booth. I don't even know if I remember having a crush on anyone. I hated, even back then, even as a kid, I hated Pamela's attitude.
Oh, Pamela, let's be clear. I was watching this film. So these aren't my words. These are my wife's. I was watching it. She was playing the Nintendo Switch. So she's not really paying attention. And just out of the blue, she goes, Jesus Christ, Pamela's a dick tease, isn't she? I was like, yeah, she really fucking is. She's the worst. She's playing the two guys against each other. Although I say she's a dick tease, did she flat out have sex
with a wolf?
With Scott as a wolf?
Yeah. Was that a little bit hairy?
What?
Well, she had sex with Scott. Mm-hmm. Well, if he's a werewolf, it's hair all over.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I don't know. Does he have, like, this is going to get gross pretty quick, but does he have, like, a dog-like situation? You know, like, the lipstick ring?
Where the lipstick comes out.
Okay, let's just stop. I don't want to think about that film in myself. But. Yeah, oh, that's completely taking me off track here. So yeah, Pamela's the fucking worst. Boof is lovely. I think just from a young age, I always liked the nice girls. Like the other one I had an early crush on was, and she even looks a bit similar, is, what the hell, from Gremlins.
Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates, yeah. I loved Phoebe Cates as well. And she's like the, you know, quintessential good girl in that, I suppose, as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things. But yeah, Boof, I even in this, like, she's maybe not the greatest actress. Is this Susan, what did you say her name was? Susan
Assisi?
She wasn't in much else.
Susan Assisi.
Yeah, yeah, Susan Assisi. She, you know, she doesn't really go on to do much else in cinema. And I'm not saying she's the best actress, but she's so charming in this film. And it's like, I'm rooting for her. It's like, yeah, some of the stuff, like she's, I still don't really get that whole one-on-one basketball thing with Harold. I thought that was a bit strange, where she's just showing up and I'm just playing one-on-one basketball with your dad. And just, we need to deal with this now. The basketball in that scene is bad, but that's totally fine, because the basketball in this entire movie, the all-white basketball.
I was going to say, you mean white boy basketball. Bullshit. White boy basketball. The so many director, practice. The director has even admitted that there is an hour cut of the worst basketball you've ever seen.
And like, that is the thing. They cut an hour of the worst basketball. The stuff they left in, there's about, I think about six things happen in this film on the basketball court, and it's just repeated over and over.
The behind the back shot.
Oh, dude, so many times.
Yeah.
He is so, I mean, I was like, okay, like he's small, yeah. Like Marty McFly, Jesus Christ. Michael J. Fox, he's like 5'4". But I'm like, all right, we're going to sell him as like a dynamic point guard. He's got no handle on the ball, whatever. He's got no game. He's terrible. But then everyone is. It's like, there's two black guys, as far as I can tell. There's one at the start who flattens Scott straight away. And
Lemonade!
He flattens him, and I'm like, dude, like, that's a charging call for sure. Like, Scott, in his defense, he's terrible at basketball, but he plants his feet in that scene, gets absolutely flat, and gets no call, which is a bad start. And there's one black dude in the game at the end, and he just doesn't do anything. He's just there.
I think that's Lemonade as well. I'm sure
that's the same dude.
Because it's the Dragons. They're playing the same team.
Oh, yeah. I think he just wore glasses or something. So maybe
In the final scene, he wore those, those yellow glasses.
Yeah. So, sorry. It is just one black dude. It's unbelievable. But, yeah, this is the best of all-white basketball, and it's just as terrible as you can imagine. I mean, it's just back to front. I can't think of a single convincing scene other than when he turns into the wolf. And suddenly it's very clearly not. I mean, who is it? It's, I wrote it down somewhere. That's,
he was a college basketball star, wasn't he? Jerry something, or was it Jerry or
Jerry something? I've got too many bloody notes as usual here and I can't find it, but it's Jerry something. And yeah, the main thing is that he's a good foot taller than Michael J. Fox. But it's like, when you see Michael J. Fox, he can't even dribble the ball. Like, he's got no fundamentals. And supposedly part of that is down to the fact that they filmed this movie in like a couple of weeks. Like, it was a small fry movie. It was like, it was filmed for less than $1 million. It was filmed in a couple of weeks. They had like 2 weeks worth of basketball practice, which did nothing because they were still absolutely useless. But because of the timing of the film, because it came out, even though it was filmed before Back to the Future, because it came out after Back to the Future, it subsequently became this massive hit just because Michael J. Fox was on the front, which is absolutely insane. Just this absolute, what today would be straight to video. Instead, because Back to the Future comes out and it's the biggest film in the world, it absolutely drags this film along to it. This
Sorry, I missed made, that. Did you cover that they held it back?
They held it back. Oh, no, I didn't cover that.
But, they held it back. So it was going to be released before, but then they held it back. Because they figured Back to the Future was going to be the bigger thing and sell it on Michael J. Fox's name from Back to the Future. So they held it back. Yeah,
absolutely worked. Because, I mean, I think globally in 85, it did like $80 million. So it was like an absolutely massive hit when you consider like the budget. And I mean, some countries, to say that they sold it on the strength of Back to the Future would be an understatement. I'm jumping to facts a little bit here. But did you know that in Italy, Scott was renamed as Marty?
Was he?
Yeah, he was renamed as Marty. And this one's even better. In Brazil, Teen Wolf is named Ogrado de Futuro, and I apologize for my Portuguese to any Brazilian listeners, but that translates to the boy of the future.
Yeah, boy. I had that one as well written down, yeah.
So in Brazil, they just like, oh, we're just going to call Teen Wolf the boy of the future. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, dude, it's going to make us so much money. Sorry, everyone knows Back to the Future.
Jeff Glosser was the basketball player.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's good makeup. That he got his name right, because it was actually, they spelt his name incorrectly in the credits. And Michael J. Fox thought it was so important because he played such a big role in, you know, making him a convincing basketball player, that he was the one who pointed out, like, guys, you've got to get his name right. This guy's like a massive part of the film. And in fairness, he is good, but everyone else is garbage. Everyone is garbage. But
we go into the 1980s naming the fat guy.
Oh, it's in every film, isn't it? Yeah. The one thing I'll say is nobody calls anyone a fag in this film, which is almost a relief considering what's happening. Do they?
Yeah.
When
Styles, sorry, before we go there, yeah, Chubby again.
Oh, he does.
But when they're looking for the weed, mm-hmm. and he says, Styles, I've got to tell you something, he says, yeah. You tell me you're a fag, I can't deal with that.
He totally does. I totally forgot. It's like I'm blocking it out now. It's not making any impact, which is a concerning thing.
He went full on homophobic at that one point. Like, you're going to tell me I'm a fag, I can't deal with that. No, I'm going to tell you I'm a werewolf.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. Jesus Christ. Dude, I thought you were going to tell me you were gay. What a relief.
Can we ask how everybody just accepted that there's a werewolf around? Like, is this a thing in this
bonkers.
World?
It's bonkers. Nobody, basically, he turns into a, like, Styles is kind of freaked out for a second, but immediately sees the financial implications. All right, all Styles, fair enough. But when he turns into a wolf in the middle of a basketball game, everyone just kind of looks at him for a second. He dunks, and everyone's like, oh, let's play some ball. And everyone's just like, yeah, straight to the races. No fucking problems. There's no news reports. There's no kind of questions about, how the fuck did this happen? And are you really a fucking werewolf? No, just straight at it. Because he's pretty good at basketball, let's just get on with it.
That's right. They even changed the beaver mascot. They put the wolf head on top of the beaver mascot. It was like, we're just going to accept everything about this.
Yeah. Everyone's just like, and the thing is, Vice Principal Rusty, or whatever his name is,
Mr. Thorne.
Yeah, but is it Rusty Thorne? Because his dad Harold keeps calling him Rusty. It's like old man Rusty. It's like he obviously knows about werewolves because of his run-ins with his dad. So I assume that some other people are probably aware that Harold Howard is also a werewolf. And it's that weird thing of, like, everyone acts shocked, like they've never seen a werewolf before, which the stuff with Howard would suggest they would have. But then there's the equally strange part and the fact that everyone is super cool with it. Super cool. Like, the thing is, there is actually, and again, we're jumping into facts, but there's not a deleted scene, but there was, in the script, he was supposed to go on the Johnny Carson show. So there was supposed to be some kind of reference to him being this thing in the world. Like, oh my God, there's a real werewolf. But they cut that. So it's all kept in, what's the school where the beavers play?
Oh, here we go.
Beacon Hills.
Beacon Hill, yeah.
I think it's set in, it's supposed to be in Nebraska, but it's filmed in California. But it's obviously not set in California. But yeah, everyone in this small town America, just like, yeah, cool. It's a fucking werewolf and he plays for the team. I can smell a state championship coming here, guys. Let's just go with it.
The only one who freaked out the most was Michael J. Fox himself.
No, there's one other. All right. He's the worst character in the film and for the most part, he's useless. Lewis, played by Matt Adler.
I really wanted to go into my favorite saying is, what's the point in Lewis?
What is the point? It's a brilliant line. What is the point of Lewis? The only reason he's kept around, right, let's be clear. Lewis is super lame, super lame. But he's the only person in this town who reacts like a normal human being to this. Everyone else is like, oh, cool. He's like, dude, has no one noticed that? He's turned into a fucking werewolf. This is pretty weird, right? It's like, you know, he's the outside. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, Lewis is being a bit of a pussy about it. He's acting all weird because you've suddenly turned into a werewolf, you know? It's like, yeah, and so he should.
Lewis is thinking, when I hit puberty, I got a couple of hair on my balls. When this guy hits puberty, Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's going to be... Well, that is the thing. Like, what is this? What do you categorize this film as? Do you think of it as a werewolf movie, a sports movie, or some kind of, like, highbrow allegory for the struggles of puberty? It's one of the three, I suppose. Or is it all three? I'm not sure.
I can't even tell you. It's not a werewolf movie.
I think it's a sports movie.
Yeah.
It's like I think of it as a basketball movie that happens to have a werewolf.
If you look at those Air Buds or those, what are they, like monkey playing hockey or monkey skateboarding movies or whatever it is. It's not a monkey playing hockey.
Do they exist?
Yes, they do.
Is it really a monkey hockey movie?
I think it was one called...
I think we're just going to keep saying monkey with a genre of movie. You know, the monkey hockey movie, the monkey sports movie, the monkey horror movie.
It was.
The monkey romantic comedy, all those.
There was a series of monkey movies called MVP, and I think it went from most valuable primate when he was playing hockey, most vertical primate when he was snowboarding.
Fantastic.
And there was another one. I can't remember what the third one was, but he was skateboarding at the time.
It's fine. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt on the fact that it's an absolute miracle that you remembered two, dude. It's a fucking... You're the only person on planet Earth who can remember those two films.
They are just sports movies. They're not animal in this movie kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? So I think this is more a teen basketball film. The worst teen basketball film I have ever seen.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Don't get me wrong. We sound like we are slating this, and I know we'll get into ratings a bit later on, but...
No, it was good.
I still enjoy watching it. I enjoy this film more than Michael J. Fox enjoys this film.
Yeah, he hates this film, for sure.
Which is, again,
because I just think he makes it, and he thinks he forgets about it, and he's just dragged into the limelight, but... Like you say, it's not we hate the film. We're just making it clear the basketball is terrible. The basketball is dog shit. It's like they've got, it looks like they've got 30 seconds of usable footage and it's barely usable. And they stretch that out to about 6 minutes of basketball by just having it on a loop.
Did
and
you
it's
notice,
terrible throughout.
Did you notice as well? Nobody expected this team to ever win because they're, what do they call them? Bleachers?
The bleachers, yeah.
Yeah. Well, their stadium is one row of bleachers, and it's probably enough to sit, what, like 50 people?
Yeah.
If you look at any other basketball film, they're all around the court.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like hundreds of people watching. You've got 50 people. And why are they playing basketball? And they made the championship. Why did all the games happen in Beacon Hills?
Because the thing is, none of it makes... The structure of it doesn't make any sense. Like you say, the crowd, I don't know what kind of tournament they're playing in. I get it maybe with it, small crowds because they're a rubbish, you know, kind of local basketball team kind of thing. You know, this isn't like, you know, the March Madness or any of that shit. You know, this isn't like Nebraska playing Duke or... I'm just saying names now. I might be mixed up with college football. But yeah, it's... I don't know, man. A lot of this doesn't make sense. And I don't think much thought has been given to anything about the basketball side of this movie, which is strange because it's so prevalent. The only thing they get right are the jerseys are fucking dope. The Adidas Beaver jersey and the Dragons?
The Dragons, yeah.
Oh, they're awesome. Awesome. Like, real cool. Like, they got, like, the old school Adidas badge. They are dope basketball vests, but that's about all I'm... I mean, it starts off bad. I mean... You get an oddly dramatic build-up at the start of the film. Like, the credits run on for ages. And it's just that boom, boom, boom.
I had boom, that boom. Written down when it was... what did I say? The opening credits are so simple. And yeah, it's just the
goes
the bounce
ages.
Of the basketball. Or is it a heartbeat? Sorry, it's a heartbeat.
I think it's a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But it runs on... I'm like, was it always this long? It's like, we're just getting names for ages. And then when he throws up the free shot, I mean, he's throwing up bricks. I mean, he is way off the mark. So, like, straight away, it's like, oh, this is going to be rough. But one thing I do really like about this film, and in fairness, this comes 4 years after American Werewolf in London, which, to my money, still has the greatest transformation scene in movie history.
Yeah, like, I totally wanted to mention that. Well.
Yeah, this obviously doesn't have anywhere near the same budget. But I do enjoy those moments, those build-ups, where it's like all of a sudden his hands get hairy and the keg of beer scene, which always confused me for years because, like, who buys a keg of beer? But, like, the flashing eyes, the growling. I love all those little nods. And the build-up to, obviously, we see it kind of gets overshadowed by what is the, let's call it the Harold Howard reveal. But it's such an odd transformation at that point. He's transforming, his hands go, his teeth go. And then there's an in-between bit when his face looks all fucked up.
It's mad. It looks it's like really odd. Indiana Jones, once they open the ark and their face starts to melt. But is this going in reverse?
Yeah. He's just growing hair instead.
All I could think about that scene was when he didn't want to talk to his dad and he went into his room and Harold went downstairs. Mm-hmm. But they left the bathroom light on and I thought, come on now, carbon footprint. Turn your light off.
Yes. I love the fact, and again, we'll go back to Harold being just the best movie dad ever. It's like his son has just turned into a werewolf. He's just found out his dad or his grandfather was a Mogwai who fucked a human. It's a lot to take in. So what does he do first thing in the morning? He makes him a cup of hot chocolate. I was just like, oh, that's so sweet. I mean, it's mental. I mean, I actually thought of all these things going on, it's like, oh, there's like a dude turning into a werewolf. The strangest thing in the film to me is the idea of drinking hot chocolate before 9 a.m. But I was like, oh, he's a fucking sweetheart, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's such a great dad. He owns that hardware store. Goddamn sweetheart. But once he does transform, I mean, let's be honest, he does get lucky because he looks cool as shit, man. I think I love the look of the werewolf. I love the way, like, I mean, it was the poster we used for on Facebook for this. When he comes to school and he's wearing the sunglasses and the varsity jacket and stuff, I was like, dude, he looks cool as shit.
I wanted to mention it, yeah. With this, what do they call it? Like a letter jacket or a varsity jacket, whatever you call it.
Varsity jacket, yeah. Or letter jacket that, or something.
When he's got that zipped up and he's got his mane just going down.
The mane looks ace. He's killing that mane. He totally looks cool.
Awesome, yeah.
The thing is, you know he looks cool because when he goes to the dance and he goes full on Saturday Night Fever, he fucking pulls off that white suit, man. You've got to be baller to pull off a white suit. And he totally does.
I did love the hairdryer scene.
Oh, you are an animal. You are an animal. Ow.
And then all of a sudden, everybody knows the dance in...
What the fuck?
But again, it goes back to my point where there's only like 50 people in the stands. Mm-hmm. It felt like they were in a warehouse for this dance. But there was only like 30 people just... Or maybe even like 20 people just... in the center of this warehouse.
Yeah.
It's so weird to me. It felt abandoned.
It is strange, but I don't think you've already mentioned it there. The strangest thing is the fact that they get there. He seems to have his own song, which appears to be written for him, Big Bad Wolf. And then when he gets there, everyone immediately starts like, you know, getting into the song. And all I can assume is Scott Howard has created a dance for himself. And everyone, like an episode of fucking Glee, has seen it and go, I know that dance. And they all just join in. And all I can think is they're trying to jump up. Like, it is very, my wife actually says, she goes, this is really similar to Thriller. And I was like, it totally is similar to Thriller. Like, the dance and everything. The dance is dope. Obviously, I'm not going to do it here because it's an audio podcast. But the dance is cool as shit. The thing is, I think it should have been more iconic. That should have been a music video. The song's pretty cool. The dance is ace. And it didn't become a thing.
There has to be a deleted scene where he's in the locker room teaching his team how to do the Big Bad Wolf.
Just be clear for audio listeners, he is. I said I wouldn't do the dance. Rob's doing the fucking dance. And he's doing it well. I'll give him that. So.
Rob's doing the dance because nobody can see him do it.
I saw it. It was glorious. You just have to believe me. But yeah, it is that whole scene is quite strange because although it does happen, there's like a long history of this in American movies. That kind of, what were the movies with Zac Efron? High School Musical, where it's like if somebody starts dancing, everybody just knows the dance. The weirdest thing is that actually, I'm Welsh like Rob, but I moved up to Scotland 13 years ago. And the strangest thing I ever ran into, I went to a wedding, my first Scottish wedding, and about 3 hours, 4 hours in, you know, to the evening when everyone's pissed, all of a sudden, everybody starts dancing in unison and everybody knows the fucking moves. Obviously, now I know it's a Cayley, but I didn't know about a Cayley when I moved up here. And suddenly it's like, I'm standing there and they go, oh, are you going to dance? I was like, what do you mean? And everybody, all these disparate people who, you know, they brothers, sisters, boyfriends, girlfriends, they all start dancing. And like, everyone knows the moves. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? This is like Teen Wolf without the wolf, but in Scotland. It's bizarre.
That happened to me, but replace Scottish with Irish.
Oh, do they do it as well, do they?
Yeah. So we went to an Irish wedding, and you get all the normal songs out of the way and everything. And when it gets to the end of the night, everyone's a bit liquored up.
Liquored up. That sounds so American. Everyone's finished their 40s, you know.
the Irish songs come on, and all of a sudden, everyone is up and dancing. And you're just there. Again, you're sat there going, what the fuck have I missed? Have I missed a meeting? Like, was I meant to...
Totally feels like that. It's like, were there instructions sent for this? Was like, I wasn't provided with the homework notes. What the fuck? So everyone's like, do you want to dance? I'm like, me, I'm 6'7" and I don't know the moves that everyone else knows. I'm like, dude, I can't go up there. That's good. I've actually been to a Kaylee since, not a wedding. It was just, they do events where it's just a Kaylee and you all join in and they teach you the dance and then you all do it. It's super fun, but don't wear jeans. You should go there wearing fucking shorts and a t-shirt. It is sweaty work.
If I knew that, I would have got you to do that at my wedding.
Oh, dude, it was awesome. It was all, I'd stand at the front, pretend I knew what the fuck I was doing. You give me enough beer, I'll do it 100%.
Well, you were teaching a bunch of Welsh guys at that point, so it wasn't
You know what I mean? Well, the thing is, you know, Welsh, we do have kilts. We could go all in. I'm not sure. So it's, I was going to say it's a shame I'm already married, but I think my wife can hear me in the other room, so I'm going to nip that in the bud. So this all leads, obviously, what we have, you know, Scott's quite boringly, you know, he learns to be himself. Oh, it's about me, not the wolf and all that jazz.
Yeah.
So this all leads into the final game of the film, yeah? The state championship, the local championship, whatever you want to call it. There's a few things here. Firstly, he shows up 9 minutes late to the game as Scott. Like that game, I think there's 2 minutes left in the first quarter. So he's missed the first 9-10 minutes of the game. Not great. At that point, they are 22-3 down, yeah? The first game against the Dragons finished 71-12.
71-12, yeah.
So you are talking about a 78-point swing in a little over three quarters of basketball against what is unquestionably the worst basketball team to ever play the game. Scott then gives the worst fucking speech I've ever heard. It's a totally useless speech. Nobody seems to be specifically on board. But then all of a sudden, Chubb, or Chubby, is that his name, Chubby?
They call him Chubbs, Chubb, Chubby. He's got a
Chubby, role. Yeah, he's fat. Yeah, sure. It's the 80s. Let's get to the point. All of a sudden, he is hitting 30-foot three-pointers. He's hitting hook shots like a young Patrick Ewing. He's throwing up successful screens all over the place. He does the worst offensive rebound I've ever seen in my life. There's a scene where the camera's above, and he just stands there. Somebody jumps out of the way, and he just grabs it like a newborn baby.
As he's hugging, he hugs the ball as it comes into him.
My God. And we're supposed to believe that this sudden turnaround happens and they beat the Dragons, who, let's be honest, they've got Mick, the grown-ass man, and the one black dude in town who should be dominating these fucking clowns, let's be honest.
All I could think about was every time they scored a point, a basket, sorry, they were celebrating. Like Michael J. Fox hugged a lot of people at that point. I'm thinking, get back. Just fucking get back. The defense.
If you're the coach, if Coach Finstock had anything, you know, at this point, he's like, well, I haven't taken it serious, but this is the championship game. He should be screaming, get back on defense, guys. Stop sucking each other off. They're going to score. You're giving them easy 2 pointers here. You're giving Mick easy layups. If we're going to make up this difference, you've got to put some hustle in. You can't just keep high-fiving.
Yeah, but this is the guy that wanted salt for his egg during a game.
I mean, but you do want, if you are going to eat a hard-boiled egg at the game, I mean, you want to go all in. You want some salty. And that one kid who's apparently his number two, who just gets super excited, gets salt for his egg, and doesn't do anything else.
Again, the championship game, he is screaming, but you can't hear him. He's just going, like, you don't know what
he's just convulsing. It's very strange. So, it's all very odd. One of the other things my wife said, she's like, she popped her head up during the game. She's those cheerleaders are the worst. And I watched, I was like, they're terrible. They haven't planned, but then they weren't expecting to be any good, I suppose.
What about the two girls that hung around with Styles as well? Like, because they were like in their 40s for a start.
Oh, yeah. They looked like the cast of Grease. Like, they were just old as shit. But I mean, it feels like, because they were so prominent in those scenes, you feel like there must be deleted scenes where they had something to say rather than just these two randos who just show up at the basketball games to hang around with Styles.
I know we're talking about the championship game, but I've mentioned him. We've mentioned him a couple of times. But can we talk about the fact that Styles wanted his best friend to commit armed robbery to get a kick?
Yeah. Well, whatever it takes, mate. I mean, never, never say die. If that means armed robbery, then so be it. It's like, go in. If you could hold this place up, that'd be great. I mean, let's be honest. Mug J. Fox, when he's 24, even if he had a gun, he looks too cute. You'd be like, come on, forget about it. Even with the glowing red eyes, I'm not sure if he'd look particularly threatening.
You're not going to believe anybody that's got something pointing out of their jacket pocket
No.
And then when he takes it out and it's a yellow water pistol. I know he chucked it in the van anyway and he wasn't going to do it, but...
It wasn't going to work. He's a desperate man, though, Styles. He really wanted to impress.
Commit armed robbery. I don't care if it's a water pistol. Just go ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
But then again, this is the same town that lets them van surf, I think, maybe.
Van surf, yeah, I think that's fair enough. Yeah.
They can just get away with it.
Well, Styles is very good at it. And at that point, you are talking, once you get to Scott surfing, you're like, are you really going to call him up on surfing on the truck? You've already just apparently just let this slide, the fact that he's a werewolf.
So two things.
Van surfing seems a little bit low-key at that point.
Two things about surfing on the truck. The first one being, you said in the basketball game, they like had 30 seconds of footage and they used it constantly.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Michael J. Fox did about six flips, the same flip.
Oh, yeah, it's one flip, just repeated six times, 100%.
And was Styles drinking whilst driving with his friend on the top and then just committed littering? That sounds, you know, but...
Yeah, I guess so. But the thing is, even like the house party, it's like this town looks so kind of quite conservative. It's supposed to be in Nebraska. Everyone's quite nice. And then this party, it just looks like absolute mayhem. And I'd never noticed before, but I'm like, at least one person is clearly just smoking drugs. Yeah. And it's just weird for this film. It just doesn't fit in at all. But, and again, Styles is such a shyster, isn't he? Like, you know, he's just trying to make money off the whole team. We'll think straight away.
Well, it was the same because I never pinpointed what they were looking for. Again, I guess youth had an impact on that. When he tells Styles he's a werewolf and they're looking for Big Brother Stash, I didn't know what that was when I was a kid.
Yeah, or me. It is weird when some of these films, like I haven't watched for the longest time and you notice different things. You're like, how the hell didn't I spot that when I was younger? It's really bizarre. Yeah. But Styles is great in this. But I still, like, when I think of Styles, I still think of his T-shirts. And there's one thing I never, is like, what is it, Obnoxious the Movie? What are you looking at, Dick Nose?
Dick Nose. T-shirts. In school.
I mean, Jesus, a Dick Nose T-shirt. But one of the things, it's like, were they aware of it when they were making the film? Because there's a bit when he walks into the house and Harold isn't looking at him. Harold's talking to Marty, and without even looking behind, he says, "Nice shirt, Styles."
Yeah,
like, "Nice shirt, Styles." He's like, "Oh, thanks." It's just like they knew it was a thing. They're like, "Oh, we've put him in so many cool t-shirts, we've got to reference it." Or because he's a werewolf, he has the power of t-shirt recognition. I'm not sure. It's a bit of a shit power, but
literalized, like, in the back of his head.
Yeah. It's very odd. But I mean, the one thing I'll say is this does have, you know, once, even though it's bad basketball, in that final scene, what pulls you through it essentially is the great 80s song, like the montage song.
In the end.
Oh, such a great track. It just keeps going and going. And then even like it goes right through to them winning. And then the final credits. I can't remember the song that runs over the final credits.
Oh, I wanted to mention this. I got it here. Did I get it here? Shooting for the Moon by Amy Hunter.
That is a
funny
great
how
song.
Sometimes life just changes overnight. Magically, everything you do turns out so right. Just like that, you pull rabbits out of your hat. Now, I'm not doing this film justice by just reading the lyrics.
It's clearly the film itself is clearly an allergy for puberty. I mean, that's as clear as day, isn't it? Jesus Christ. Allegory. Sorry, I can't speak. But yeah, it's that song keeps playing. And rather than fading to black eventually, the credits just keep rolling with that weird extreme close-up of them celebrating. It's not as strange as the Predator credits, I'll give you that, but it's pretty weird all the same.
Two things about those credits. Again, two things. When he's finally making out, getting off with Booth, Harold, I keep calling him Howard. Harold is just creepily watching him from the
seat. Yeah, it's a bit weird.
And then when he finally decides to get up and go down and give him a hug, and this has already been mentioned in the Facebook group already, the random "I didn't zip up my fly" lady.
Well, everyone for the longest time thought it was a dude with his dick out.
Yeah.
And the thing is, in the theatrical cut, you can't see that it's a woman. You just see somebody's trousers and the zip is undone. And you just assume it's a dude.
You still can't see it's a woman now. They've just said, in again, going into facts, that it was a woman. Her jeans or her trousers were too tight while she was sat down. So she
It's just a wardrobe malfunction. But there is, a scene, you can find it online, a shot of that with a different aspect ratio. Okay. You can see it's a woman very clearly. It's just in when you watch the movie, it cuts off at the waist and you just think, is that a guy with his dick out? And for the longest time, it was reported as such. It was like, if you go on the internet now, because I was looking up for it, so many websites still say, and it was referenced in Family Guy as well, everyone just says it's a dude with his dick out, but it's just a woman whose pants were too tight. Came and done. He just happens to be standing right behind Scott, Howard, and Booth as they're celebrating in the final scene of the film. It's a fucking weird one, dudes. It's a weird one. But that, I mean, that'll take us into facts, essentially. We've already covered some of these. I mean, the weird thing, I mean, we've already mentioned the fact that this was a small film. It was a 1 million budget film that went on to make 80 million, you know, 85 money globally. But because of when it was released, Back to the Future was such a big hit. This got dragged along with it, and it gave Michael J. Fox the number one and number two movie in the US on the same week, which, imagine that. Like, how many people have that? They're starring in the number one and number two movie.
Yeah.
And he was in one of the biggest TV shows in America at the time.
Yeah, Family Matters, because he would go from this to that, wouldn't he? He would record night on Family Matters or something and then go straight to this.
No, it was. And then when he did Back to the Future, it was the other way around.
Okay.
He did the day in Family. That's why in Back to the Future, so many scenes are shot at night, if you notice. Like, you know, you think of them with the Libyans, the scene at the dance, it's all at night because he was filming in the day.
I'm confused then, my thing. Yeah, there was a break from Family Matters.
Yeah, there's a break. And then from Back to the Future, he was doing both
at the same time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he's in one of the biggest shows in America, and he's in the number one and number two movie. He was fucking massive in 85. But another link between the two films, the Howard family home is on the same street as Marty's mum's house from the 90s, when they go back to the 50s.
Yeah.
It's the same street, which is just crazy.
The other one, the high school was so close to an airport, they had to stop shooting when planes flew overhead.
That's insane.
Can you imagine that?
So, just like, oh, God. Kind of like, you know, like those scenes where people are playing like street hockey and they're like, car, and they have to like come off the street. Only this is like plane.
There was a guy hired just to go plane. Like plane. They're on the flight path. Well, they could have got that guy from Fantasy Island, couldn't they?
Yeah. Just the plane, basically. What's the other one I had? This is a weird one because I'm not sure if it's linked to the movie or the TV show. Tampa Bay Buccaneer Greg White loved Teen Wolf so much that he supposedly legally changed his name to Styles.
Styles G.
Which is
Styles G, yeah.
I mean, we all love Styles, but Jesus Christ, I mean, he is the greatest movie compare of all time. And Jesus Christ, as a salesman, he really wears his goods. And those Teen Wolf t-shirts he makes, they're another great t-shirt. But that is a level of commitment, man. I mean, if one of your friends told you that, although saying that, I would say it now. I mean, I'm 39 now. If one of my friends was, if I was 18 and one of my friends like, dude, I love Teen Wolf so much, I'm going to change my name to Stars, I'd be like, dude, you should totally do that. You should do that straight away. I'd be totally on board. But it's a weird one for sure.
The other one, James Hampton, Mr. Howard and Mr. Thorne, they're good friends in real life, which was quite funny.
Oh, really? Yeah, because they're that, like, it feels a little bit underplayed, the story between, like, the whole, like, obviously there's the, you know, the history between, I still don't know why he's vice principal. Why isn't he just the principal? Why is he vice
principal? Where is the principal?
Where is the principal?
Yeah.
Very, very, there's some questions there. There's, again, another spin-off. Probably part of the Coach Finstock spin-off movie. But, yeah, vice principal Thorne, like, hanging around in the toilets.
Yeah.
Very strange.
Like, he and followed him. He had to have followed him because he ran a long way.
Followed him. He ran a long way down, without question, the wettest hallway of all time. Yeah. That hallway isn't wet. It's a river. It's soaking. I mean, how much that cleaner, I mean, he must have put 20 buckets worth of water on that hallway. You see the water flipping up at times. It's insane.
He tipped those buckets and just didn't bother mopping it. He just let it go.
Well, we'll give him that. Michael J. Fox, physical comedy, 10 out of 10. Basketball skills, we're giving you a 2, dude. We're giving you a 2.
Did Mr. Howard give the Spider-Man speech as well?
He 100% does.
When he's giving him for words. When he's giving him the, you're a werewolf and with great power comes greater responsibility, or something like that.
He paraphrases Spider-Man. He adds an ER. It's instead of great power comes great responsibility. It says great power comes greater responsibility.
Yeah.
But I had no, I just never kind of tacked onto the fact that Spider-Man completely cribbed that from Teen Wolf.
Yeah.
100%. It has become the quintessential superhero line.
Spider-Man was released in the 60s, and that's where that came from. The comic.
Oh, was it in the comic?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I just think of the movie. I just think of the 2001
movie. I'm pretty sure it's a big thing in the comic. So someone's ripped it off from somewhere else. Let's just say that.
Well, based on what you said, let's go with Teen Wolf ripped it off from Spider-Man. I can totally believe that. But in terms of the legacy of this film, obviously there was Teen Wolf 2, the 1987 film with Jason Bateman as Todd Howard, cousin of Scott. Like, this does have some of the returning cats. Coach Finstock comes back. James Hampton actually
Coach
comes
Finstock
back.
Coach Finstock is a different person.
It is a different person, yeah. But he's still there by name. But
Styles
James
is
Hampton's
there.
In it, isn't he? Styles is there, yeah. But it doesn't work because he becomes a boxer. It's like there's one thing playing basketball against a werewolf. When you're suddenly like, wait, I've got to box a fucking werewolf? Dude, this is going to kill me. It's so ridiculous.
Once again, that boxer werewolf grew about 2 feet.
Yeah, he really did.
And
there was
the MTV show, Teen Wolf, from 2011, I think. It was
2011 to 2017, and it's a weird one because I had no idea how popular that goddamn show was.
It's a great show. I've seen it all.
I've never seen it, and supposedly it was MTV's most popular show of the decade.
Yeah,
and if you to speak to the popularity of the show, if you type Teen Wolf into Google, the movie doesn't come up. The TV show comes up. You'll say it's like, oh, did you mean Teen Wolf the 1985 movie? Like, the TV show has totally superseded the film. Not in my mind, of course, but in popular culture it has, for sure.
I mean, the TV show shares nothing, except for the name Teen Wolf, Scott and Styles.
Yeah,
it shares nothing else with it.
I heard Styles is really good in the show.
Styles is great. What was his name? He was in Love and Monsters that we watched yesterday.
Oh, cool. I don't know anything about the show, but it's really highly rated.
Yeah, do you know who created it?
No idea.
Russell Mulcahy.
Russell, who's that?
Highlander.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus, I had no idea. But like I said, I was aware that there was a TV show, but it just never really, because it looked dark, and I was like, do I want to see like a dark version or a kind of, CW style take on Teen Wolf? But yeah, supposedly it's really good. But
Dylan O'Brien, he was Maze Runner. As well, he was the guy.
Yeah. I know the guy. Yeah.
Really good.
So Teen Wolf 2 was rubbish. The TV show, which I admittedly have never watched, is supposed to be really good, but you're willing to go on record and say it wasn't indeed very good.
It was good, yeah. Don't watch season 6, but the rest of it was good.
Yeah. And I mean, that's about it, actually. I said that. I structured that like I had something else to add. But for Legacy, I don't have anything else. I don't have anything else.
I've got nothing. It ends there.
I've gone down a cul-de-sac.
The only thing about Legacy, and we've already touched on it, is that Michael J. Fox hates this film.
You've got me out there. We'll leave it there. So the Legacy is Fox hates the film, surprisingly good, incredibly popular TV show, and a truly terrible sequel. In terms of soundtrack, there wasn't an official music video, which I find bizarre because there is literally a music video in the film. Big Bad Wolf is a great song. And he does the music video. They all do the dance. There's a wolf conga line in that fucking scene. And it's just like, why didn't they just turn that into a music video?
For even win in the end, because you've got the montage of the basketball player. That's a music video in its own right as well.
Is it? Because if you take it out of context, if you just show people who haven't seen the film Win in the End, and you're just showing these white guys playing the worst basketball, like, this is a weird-ass music video. But, I got to be honest.
Is it any weirder than the Goonies are good enough?
Yeah, I suppose. So it's not as good as that, though. Goonies
is not as good. You said weird. You never said good. You said weird.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But I like the whole soundtrack. I like the kind of... it's like weird keyboard sounds. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Like, I'm sitting there thinking, this is cool. Another one of the times when my wife suddenly perked up. She was, what's up with the fucking music in this film? I'm like, I guess it is kind of weird, I suppose. But I liked all the transformation music.
You've got to be paraphrasing. I've never heard your wife swear.
No, that is me swearing. She told me. As I was saying it, I was like, Definitely didn't swear. No, that was me. That was just me swearing for the sake of it. Even when I'm quoting other people, I throw in swearing, which wasn't there.
You hear it in your mind. It's the same with me. I do it as well. Yeah.
I think they swore. It's like, no, it's just me again. Yeah, fuck. Yeah, totally me. It's a shame that there's no music video, but there is ostensibly a music video that was never released. And I really like the soundtrack, despite the fact that it's super 80s. Mega 80s.
So 80s.
So,
oh my God, 80s. So 80s, this film.
I'm sure there's another song. But yeah, anyway, it's worth, I don't know, is it worth listening to? I'm not sure if it works out of context, but Win in the End and Big Bad Wolf for the standouts for sure.
Even that Rabbit in a Hat Shooting the Moon thing is song at the end is decent.
Yeah, it's not too bad.
Don't listen to that out of context.
No, you need it to be that celebratory scene. You need the weird credits to go with it, but it kind of works. But yeah, no music video, but you don't need to make one up because there was one which was never released. What was never released, bizarrely, there's no video games for this, which I know it doesn't fit the structure, but that never mattered in the 80s.
Oh shit, sorry to interrupt. There was something else for Legacy. There was a Teen Wolf 1980s cartoon show. Cartoon show?
Oh, totally.
Saturday morning cartoon. Yeah.
I think you can just say cartoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a cartoon.
The 80s, they used to do it for everything. There was a Bill and Ted cartoon. There was a Beetlejuice cartoon. There was a
Rambo.
RoboCop? RoboCop's one of the most violent films I have ever seen. They're like, yeah, dude, we should turn that into a cartoon.
And Rambo, mind.
Oh, I totally like Rambo as well. Yeah. That was so weird. That they just went through this phase of just doing, it didn't matter what the movie was. They're like, we're doing a cartoon for it.
Oh, my God. Sorry, I'm jumping in.
No, go for it.
I was looking at soundtrack. I don't remember hearing this song. It doesn't say where it was in the film, but the title of the song is Flesh on Fire.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Flesh on Fire.
Flesh on Fire to me sounds like it belongs on the Rocky IV soundtrack. It just has that sound to it. But
no, I'm going to start singing Hearts on Fire for the rest of the
movie. Oh, what a song.
Surfing USA as well. When they went surfing, of course it was Surfing USA.
Oh, Surfing USA, yeah. That's its own thing, I suppose. But bizarrely, no video game. Despite that, every 80s film worth its salt had a video game. There was supposedly a Teen Wolf The Hunt video game, but it was like straight to Facebook in 2012 based on the TV show, so no interest in that. In terms of who could, if you're going to make a video game now based on Teen Wolf, the two that jumped out for me was Dope Nod Entertainment, Life is Strange. That is like a graphic adventure about being a teenager and everything that comes with it. And I'm like, oh, you could do that, but just with, you know, if you leaned into the whole, allegory with puberty and stuff like that and how awkward it is to be in high school, you could do this whole side story with Lewis being a little bitch about it. It's like, you could totally do it in the style of Life is Strange. The other way you could go is, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, by Supergiant Games. They made a game called Pyre. It's like, it's an action role-player game. It's pretty much a kind of narrative-based role-player game, but it's got a sports game built into it.
Okay, no, I haven't yet.
Yeah, it's a weird, weird game, but it oddly works. And I'm like, that could totally work for Teen Wolf. Or you could go the Life is Strange route and just build in an NBA 2K-style sim. So it's like, for the most part, it's a narrative-driven graphic adventure. And then all of a sudden, you're playing a sim-based basketball game where everybody has really shit stats. It's like, that's the only way you can do it.
I know exactly what you're going to say. I'm going to surprise you.
You're not going to say Naughty Dog?
Nope.
Oh, thank God.
The only thing I would make it an EA Sports game.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a full basketball game?
I would stick to the basketball because these latest NBA games from EA Sports do have the...
No, they're not from EA Sports. They're from 2K.
2K, sorry, okay.
NBA, EA make that. No, I think you're on the right thing. So you're not, right. 2K, NBA 2K is an absolute money bags. EA could make the alternative, but instead of just making a basketball game, they make a Teen Wolf basketball game.
Yeah. Well, whatever game they make, you do at the moment have a story mode where you follow a rookie character. So you're following Teen Wolf, I guess. You're following Scott Howard. As he goes on, I would make it a story-based basketball game.
You could essentially do a proper Teen Wolf sequel where he takes his newfound... He's like, okay, yeah, right. I've proved to myself that I can win the championship game by just being Scott. But if I'm going to be serious about this, and I want to go to March Madness, and I want to get that full scholarship to you know, a tier one school, I'm going to have to go full wolf. So he joins like North Carolina and tries to take them to the state championship game, yeah, and eventually get, that works out for Teen Wolf 2, and then Teen Wolf 3, you know, he gets picked up by the NBA. Perhaps, you know, it's like Denver Nuggets or a struggling franchise get turned around by Scott Howard as the Wolf. You know, it's like, do the Denver Nuggets change their name to the Denver Wolfmen? I don't know, it could be. Could happen in America. So that's the alternative, I suppose. In video game form, of course.
Yeah, that's the only way I would do it. I would concentrate more on the basketball. Try to redeem a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's a great idea because, as I said, it's like NBA 2K, like EA have tried with NBA Live to compete with NBA 2K, and it hasn't happened. They've released, you know, quite a few NBA Live games. They release it, it doesn't do the numbers, they go back to the drawing board, they come back 3-4 years later, it doesn't do the trick, NBA 2K just crushes it. So instead of just going like for like, they go full narrative, but go all in on the Teen Wolf thing. So on one side, you've got the full sim NBA 2K, and on the other side, you've got the narrative-based Teen Wolf NBA simulator.
If you want to go totally out there as well, you go an NBA Jam version.
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome.
Because you've got the out there dunks, you've got everything on fire, it's 200. You go NBA Jam, where one of the players is Scott Howard.
Yeah, and he's the only one who can do the special moves from NBA Jam. Everyone else can only do kind of really poor pull-up jumpers from like 20 feet. Oh, except for maybe Chubbs, who can do, like, he's got like 3-point powers because he can clearly drain a 3-point. And, you know, he's pretty good at sprints.
He's shooting them from the stands, and he's just sat in the stands, just eating a hot dog. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what do they call it? Liverwurst.
What's that?
When Scott walked past him in the lockers, and he went, "Have you got liverwurst in your locker?"
Oh, yeah, yeah. What the hell is that? I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's patty. Yeah,
it's like they were like, "What's the fattest thing he could be eating? If you've got a fat guy and he's eating the locker room, what can he be eating?" It's like, let's have him eat patty. That'd be fucking gross.
I may be wrong, but I'm pretty sure liverwurst is
patty. Oh, dude, as far as I'm concerned, now he's eating patty. Although I'll give him the benefit because at one point he's actually eating while playing. But in his defence, he's eating an apple.
Yeah,
so it's pretty fucking healthy.
Dude. Hanging out of his mouth while he's shooting.
Dude, man, Scott's just absolutely dominating. And I'll just eat this apple. It's like, dude, why are you sitting here? It's like, well, like, you know, I want to eat, but I can't eat patty on the course. That'd be a bit too much. I'll eat an apple instead.
So we've covered the film, we've covered facts, we've covered video games, legacy, soundtrack. So
everything. We're done.
Well, we got our review.
We got our review, yeah.
Yep.
All right, you go first, man.
Yeah,
the two questions are, firstly, what is your rating out of 5? And two, would you encourage others to watch this?
So it's a 3 for me. It's halfway. It's still enjoyable to watch.
Yeah.
The more I watch it as I get older, the I don't know, the less enamored with it I am. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably the best way to put it. Would I encourage others to watch it? No, I don't think I would.
Yeah. No, I get it.
For me, like, it's a good film, and if you've watched it previously, then yes, you are going to watch it. But if somebody hasn't watched this film, there's a lot of other films I could turn around and go ahead, watch it. And as you've already said, if I turned around, like Google's already said for you, if I go to anybody and mention Teen Wolf at the moment, they're going to go, "What, that MTV show?"
Yeah, totally.
It's only people our generation now, our age, are going to understand this film. But no, I wouldn't fight. As much as last week with Big Trouble in Little China, I stood my ground for that. I wouldn't pass this one on. I still enjoy watching it. I will still enjoy watching it. I want my kid to watch this thing. But again, that's me passing on my nostalgia.
Yeah, of course.
But it's a 3. And no, I wouldn't encourage anyone to watch it. What about you?
Well, unlike last week where we did disagree on the, would you pass it on? I'm in complete agreement with you this week. I would also give the film 3 out of 5 stars. I think it's totally enjoyable. I think it's actually quite a bad film at times, but it gets by on its charm. Michael J. Fox is super charming in it. There's like little moments of comedy, like Coach Finstock again. All his lines feel like they're from a different film, but they just work. There's, you know, obviously stuff like Styles and obviously Harold, who I think is a great movie dad. It's not a great movie, but it's a charming movie. It's a fun movie.
Yeah.
It's definitely a movie of its time. And I am, when I watch it, I am totally caught up in nostalgia. I'm looking forward to the terrible basketball. I'm looking forward to the dodgy 80s songs. And the point is, like, you know, my friends all back home who grew up with it, they all still love this film, but it is driven by nostalgia. And if you ask me, again, I always think, if I was going to encourage other people to watch it, I think of my friends in work who, you know, they watch movies, but they're not massive movie guys. That's who I have in my head, just your average, you know, just guys who are like, yeah, I watch movies, but I'm not, you know, like you and I, where we go back and watch, you know, we have this love for 80s movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, if they said to me, I haven't seen Teen Wolf, I'd be like, fair enough. Probably leave it at that. You don't need to go back and watch this. It's going to be, without the nostalgia, I just don't think it's going to hold up. So no. I'd say no as well. Totally agree with you, dude.
There's a lot more 80s films and early 90s films that you could fly the flag for. This isn't one of them for me.
As we've said on previous ones, like, it always seems to be the point of you know, comparison. It's like, when I think of a film I would encourage other people to see, it's like, if somebody says to me, I haven't seen Die Hard, before, obviously, I immediately have a heart attack. But then I tell them, it's like, dude, you have to watch Die Hard, because it doesn't matter, it was released in 88. It's a fantastic movie, fantastic performances, totally holds up. I'm like, dude, this film could have been released yesterday. It would still be amazing. You'll love it. Teen Wolf is a movie 100% of its time. It's charming nonsense, but, you know, it's fun.
It's that one word, like you say with Die Hard and a lot of films like that, it's that one word, timeless. If you think a film is timeless, then it's one that you're going to get people, you want them to watch, you want them to
feel
the same way you did about it. But there are ones that are, as you just said, that are stuck in their time. It's truly a film of that generation, that time.
Yeah, 100%.
And it wouldn't do well now. Do you know what I mean?
No, and it's another one of those things, like, some of these films, again, we'll use Die Hard as the exception. Of course, it's, you know, everyone can have their opinion. If you don't like Die Hard, whatever. But I can make an argument for Die Hard being a great film, because I think objectively, even if it's not your cup of tea, Die Hard is an objectively fantastically made film. Yeah. Teen Wolf is not an objectively made, fantastic film. It's just not. It's either the charm gets you, and for me and for you, probably it was, you know, we saw it at the right time of our lives, you know, and this, you know, I know it was released in 85, but you've got to remember, in reverse this in the past, we were, all these films felt new to us, watching them suddenly on VHS in the late 80s, early 90s. No part of me was watching this thinking, this feels like an old film. It was like, all of a sudden, I'm watching Back to the Future for the first time. I'm watching Teen Wolf. And, you know, they did kind of come hand in hand, and I loved them both. And even at a young age, I knew Back to the Future was a much better film.
Yeah.
But I still love Teen Wolf. And because I loved it as a kid, I still love it now. So
I still love it now. And it's fun. It is a fun film.
It really is.
There are certain times when you just want that fun. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You just enjoy it. I still enjoyed watching it. As much as I critiqued it and I picked things out of it, I still enjoyed watching it. I had a good time watching it, but I had that time. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And I can always
not talk for others.
I'm sitting there watching it, and my wife's in the room, and I keep saying, it's like, oh, look, oh, it's the scene with Harold where he turns in. And she's just not that excited about it. And I'm like, oh, wait, it's the scene at the dance where he does the dance. And she's like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, yeah, I can see why she's not as excited about this as I am. But yeah, at least we're on the same page. So yeah, Teen Wolf, probably, if you haven't seen it before and you're listening to this, kind of weird, but probably don't go back. But it's if you have fond memories of it, it's still totally fun. It is fun. Yeah, cool. So that's Teen Wolf done. So this is usually the bit where you do the professional bit.
Well, try and do the professional bit.
Yeah.
We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Hey You Guys 80s. And we're also on email at heyyouguys80s@gmail.com. Feel free to drop us a recommendation or a review. I never get that right.
Yeah, sorry. Like Harold Howard.
Harold Howard, yeah. Or trying to say the gangs from Big Trouble in Little China last week.
Oh, yeah. Although I feel like the Harold Howard thing, we've got better as the podcast has gone on. Yeah. So if you're listening to this backwards, it slowly sounds like we're having a stroke, but instead it's the reverse. So
we're getting better.
Yeah, we've got better.
Just started calling him Mr. Howard towards the end. And just
totally did. I noticed that towards the end. I was just like, do I call him up on the fact that he's just calling him Mr. Howard now all of a sudden? I was like, dude, you lazy son of a bitch. I was like, I'm not picking up on this. I'm going to get
like the Harold Howard thing right.
Yeah, it's fine. You got it right.
So I think the only other thing to cover before we say goodbye is my choice for next week.
Yep.
Well, I am going to be the first one out of the two of us to jump into the 90s.
Very exciting.
I know. Well, because I grew up, mind, I watched it in the 90s, but I thought it was an 80s film. I only learnt it was made in 93. The Bill Murray, Harold Ramis directed. You can see where I'm going with this.
I can see where you're going with this, yeah.
The Bill Murray, Harold Ramis directed. See what I did there? You know, repeat it.
Totally did. Yeah, got it. It's very clever.
We're going to go Groundhog.
I don't think you should say it. This should be... Oh, you've ruined it. Now.
Sorry.
I was hoping for like an Inception style ending where this was like the narrative equivalent of that spinning top on the table. The only thing is everyone's like, yeah, dude, we get it. It's Groundhog Day. It's fun. yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I feel like it's very much a movie for the times, but... Yep. Yeah, I think our first 90s film and an absolutely great choice. So look forward to doing this one. And hopefully,
look out for a very young Michael Shannon.
Oh, I totally forgot about that. Yeah. So yeah, if you can, try and watch the film again before next week. But we'll try and get the podcast out as usual on a Tuesday. But as always, thanks for listening and see you next week. Cheers, guys.
Thank you. Bye now.